This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
To be blunt about it, Nick Redfern, Nick Pope was a glorified paper pusher. I'm sorry to say that, but it sounds like that.
Well, in essence, I mean, by his own admission, Nick never left the office to investigate a UFO case. What he did, he would receive phone calls and letters from largely the general public and a few from the military. And those reports would then be sent up to an arm of defense intelligence. And those guys would look at the reports and come up with a conclusion. That conclusion would be sent to Nick Pope, and then he would send it back to Mr. Smith or Mrs. Jones, who happened to see a strange light in the sky. So, you know, there was no running around the countryside for Nick investigating cases. And I'm not being cruel to you. I'm just pointing out exactly how it is so people understand. Now, when I interviewed Nick for the first time in 1994 about Rendlesham, and again, this isn't meant as a slur on him, but you could learn more about the Rendlesham Forest books in 1994 than you could as to what Nick himself knew about the case in 1994. He told me that, you know, he'd gone looking and he could not find any files. All he could find was a correspondence file, which was essentially like a file containing letters from UFO researchers like me asking questions about Rendlesham. So it was a correspondence file between the MOD and members of the general public and a few newspaper clippings and things like that. But there was what he never saw was like what you would call the Rendlesham Forest. So, you know, in that sense, even Nick, who worked on one of the MOD's small UFO desks, even Nick admitted that he couldn't find anything. Now, bear in mind, Rendlesham, the event, occurred in 1980, and we're talking about 1994, I interviewed Nick, so 14 years had gone. So in other words, that was plenty of time to bury the files or just hide them away. But what it does demonstrate is that even Nick, running one of the UFO desks, was out of the loop as well. And I don't believe that he was lying at all. I think he genuinely, you know, was kept out of the loop and did not really know. But of course, you know, in later years, when he retired from the MOD and got more involved in ufology and wrote his own book on Rendlesham. But even now, you know, I mean, his book, doesn't answer the question as to what happened. It's just a fascinating story as to the different theories and the timeline, that kind of thing. You know, even the guy who ran the group, the organization at the, you know, the desk in the MOD, even he could just barely find anything other than, as I said, correspondence between people like me and asking questions about what happened at Rendlesham, you know.
That brings up kind of, again, that sort of paradox where, well, you know, you would require so many people to be involved in that, in the scale of this kind of an illusion and cover up, and yet nobody who seems to have been involved in it knows anything about it.
Well, there is that point, but then on the other hand, you know, Porton Down, where they did all, you know, the chemical warfare, biological warfare, hallucinogens, etc., etc., that was undertaken, or the facility itself, I should say, is located in the southwest of the UK. And to give people kind of like an image in their mind, if you look at some of the pictures where the crop circles appear every summer, sort of rolling green hills and old castles, that's where Porton Down is. It's not near bustling London, where the Ministry of Defence is. So you could potentially have the operation, or at least a part of it, initiated out of Porton Down, way down on the southwest of England, and then you've already got a significant number of personnel in the woods anyway who may have had some sort of involvement. And that's one of the important things, you know, if you want this operation to run clean and carefully, dudes on the fringes of a military installation and have all the people involved, the military, you know. It's not like they were trying to convince the general public, you know, where things could have gone really wrong. So, you know, if you've got a team important down, you know, a military defense team comes down, and you've got potentially people from the US program working on the holograms, you've actually got three or four different teams, but working in tandem and very carefully, you know, I think you could pull that off.
I think you could pull it off too, but whether or not you could keep it a secret for this long is another, that's the part I'm not so sure about. But in your book, you've got another interesting couple of sections in there that I think we should talk about. It takes us back before the last break when we were talking about how this kind of technology or strategy could be used to create any number of illusions, including things like, for example, the Bigfoot Flatwoods Monster. And you mention an interesting character named Jasper Maskelyne. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I can. Jasper Maskelyne was a very unusual and almost unique guy. In the Second World War, he held a fairly high position in the British military, but he was also a professional magician. And I mean, when I say magician, I mean literally, you know, sort of the hot-looking girl, you know, on stage and pulling a rabbit out of a hat, that kind of stuff. But he was also someone who took his fascination for magic much further, and he got more and more involved with the military from the perspective of coming up with new and novel ways to sort of mess with the minds of the Germans, like, for example, creating bogus tanks out of cardboard and painting them, so I made it look like, you know, the British military had got, you know, endless numbers of tanks in one area, so the Germans would drop a bunch of bombs onto what they thought were English tanks, but they were just sort of cardboard cutouts, and so the Germans would waste all their weaponry and so on. So Maskelyne was someone who came up with a lot of interesting ways to deceive the enemy. Now, one of them that he said that they operated and which worked extremely well took place in the latter parts of the Second World War in Italy. And bear in mind, in the Second World War, Italy was in tandem with the Germans, you know, the Axis nations. And one of the things that Maskelyne came up with was this, what he described as like a 12-foot-tall scarecrow-type creature that had all these sort of lights and cables running from it. And the plan was to sort of send it out late at night, and it had these sort of glowing eyes and all these sort of sparks and lights would come off it. It was like a humanoid shape, but about 12 feet tall. And apparently, in some of the small, isolated little villages in the mountains of Italy, when they sort of unleashed this sort of, almost like a robotic demon is the best way I can describe it, they would unleash it. And the plan was to essentially try and make the Italian little villagers and so on to believe that what they were seeing was the devil himself, and the devil was coming because essentially he was in league with Hitler. So in other words, it was like an ingenious piece of mind warping, so to speak. But what's really interesting is that if you read the documentation that surrounds this 12-foot scarecrow, when you read about it and you get the image in your mind of it, it actually sounds and looks like the so-called Flatwoods Monster of September 1952.
You just raised another question for another part of this show here. We can do about 10 of these on each one of these cases and not run out of material. All right?
That's true.
Indeed. Yeah, he agrees with me because I'm right. The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy is the book. Nick Redfern's the author, and you're on with Gene and Randall. You're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as $1 a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about $1 a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let us continue here. I mean, so many of these cases could be government experiments. Flywood's monster.
Yeah, the one we're talking about before the break, this sort of strange robotic demon that Jasper Maskelyne created to create terror in these little Italian villages. When you read the story, which is actually presented in a once classified RAND document put together in 1950, it actually talks about it that far back. But when you read the description of this demonic giant thing, it sounds just like the Flatwoods Monster that terrorized people in Flatwoods, West Virginia in September 1952. And the parallels, the images are so close, it's almost as if there'd been some sort of collaboration between US intelligence and UK intelligence to get Maskelyne involved and to essentially unleash, if you like, one of these Flatwoods monster type things in Flatwoods and to see how well it would work in the United States. Or that, you know, that it might not have worked, but in this situation it did work because it had the desired effect, which was to ensure that the people who saw it fled the scene, you know. So that learned a lesson for the people who ran into it.
That is so interesting in a way. I mean, you start out and you go, oh, really? You know, I don't know. There's too many factors to this to think that there wasn't something really going on. Well, it turns out, well, yeah, it could have been something really going on, but not what we think it was. And that's just like Roswell and any number of other cases. It's not simply people's imaginations. They were being influenced by something, just not necessarily aliens.
Well, that's right, but I think the important thing to note is that although it wasn't necessarily aliens, it was presented as aliens, and I think that's, you know, in all these experiments, and if they were all experiments, and I believe they were, whether it was Flatwoods, Parker and Hickson, Rendlesham, Roswell, one thing that they all have in connection isn't just that there's the UFO angle, but there's a desired end, if you like. There's a desired scenario, and it always revolves around UFOs and flying saucers because that's become such a primary issue within our culture to this day, you know, pop culture and so on. So when we're all primed to know what the words flying saucer and UFO meant to mean, you know, you only have to see something strange in the sky and people think it's a UFO, you know. Or somebody sees a flattened area of corn, must have been done by aliens. So part of the story is actually already done for them because we're already primed for this kind of stuff.
It makes it so easy, doesn't it, to just, you know, paint it with that brush and use it as a disinformation tool. On our forum, our announcer, Bob Zanotti, he thinks that there was some sort of microwave device that might have been used. Yeah, and so that's pretty interesting. And in your book, too, you've got a section in there where you talk about the injudicious use of microwave technology. Let's talk a bit about that.
Well, yeah, this actually relates to another British Royal Air Force base and called Greenham Common. Now, Greenham Common, you wouldn't know it unless you lived in the UK at that time, but Greenham Common in the 1980s became a very well-known military base in the UK because there were rumours that there was a massive amount of nuclear weapons stored at the base. And it's always been kind of vague in terms of the government, you know, actually confirming they were there. And other people felt, other researchers felt that the missiles actually weren't held there, but that Greenham Common was being used as sort of the stooge, so to speak. You know, so everybody would be looking at Greenham Common when they should have been looking at somewhere else. Now, regardless of which scenario is the correct one, what happened was that when the media picked up on what was going on at Greenham Common, a large group of women decided to get together and they started to protest outside of Greenham Common. And they did this for years. But what's particularly intriguing, but also disturbing, is that it wasn't long before the guys who were helping the women as well, that when they were in the direct vicinity of the base facilities and the fences, they started to feel kind of strange. They suffered from memory loss, significant memory loss, severe migraines, and all sorts of other issues, which were sort of very much, you know, in a situation where they just could not function properly. One of the rumors that surfaced was that some sort of non-lethal weapon had been utilized to put the women into a situation where, as I said, they literally could not function properly. And so when you have that going on, you know, again, mind alteration, not so much where they would see something strange, that didn't happen, but we are talking about using technology to destabilize the mindset of the women in a very different way to what was done in Rendlesham. But the important thing to note is we're talking about military bases and people in the area having their mind almost altered and challenged even, you know. So in that sense, Greenham Common is a part of the story in relation to how in the UK the minds of people, whether soldiers unwittingly or a group of women, you know, sort of just trying to put all of this down and, you know, and just leave the nukes alone, so to speak. Whichever side it is, you know, we get to see an angle where military projects in the UK have sort of destabilized people who have a connection to military facilities.
This all adds up, really, I mean, just to be, it's just too much to just go unnoticed when you think about it. But let's bring in another player over the years, and that's Michael Persinger. Now, we know from his experiments and using EM waves again that he was able to induce, in laboratory conditions, paranormal experiences with people. We know that the military has developed, I don't know if you would call them behavior modification devices or weapons, but or non-lethal weapons that use microwave radiation as a form of crowd control. We also know that they developed ways to put sound into people's heads without any sound around them.
You know what? We're going to have to put these sounds into your heads, ladies and gentlemen. And once we've done that, that was a bad segue. I mean, I've got a million of them. I'll have some more for the next episode. With Nick, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
You
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
Speaking at the White House, the president says he's looking to get a vaccine, hopefully, by the end of the year.
My administration cut through every piece of red tape to achieve the fastest ever by far launch of a vaccine trial for this new virus, this very vicious virus.
The president spending his weekend at Camp David. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The House has passed a $3 trillion Heroes Act to help deal with the economic fallout from the coronavirus.
A $3 trillion liberal wish list is not a serious proposal.
This isn't a wish list! If it's a wish list, it's for the working class people.
Senate Republicans and the White House say the bill is dead on arrival. This is USA Radio News. A senior State Department official confirms President Trump has fired the State Department internal watchdog. Inspector General Steve Linick has been removed, and Ambassador Steve Accard, a career Foreign Service officer, will be replacing him. Linick did play a role during the impeachment of President Trump over Ukraine, requesting a meeting with congressional Democrats and handing over documents related to the State Department and to Ukraine. The administration is also reportedly considering resuming U.S. funding for the World Health Organization. Sources say the United States will likely reduce future funding to match the level of China's contribution. That's roughly about $40 million. That would be down significantly from the U.S.'s previous investment in the WHO, which was about $400 million annually. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall has some more things to put into your head in the final two segments of the show. I won't give this up. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was funny, though, because they actually use that technology in advertising. In New York, you can walk down some of the streets there and stand in front of a window. And if you're in just the right spot, only you can hear the advertisement that's going on. So you put all of these technologies together to use it in some sort of psyops operation. And I think someone like John Alexander would say, oh, yeah, perfect. You know, it's all part of our toolbox. It just makes too much sense, Nick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the other things you can bring in, which is sort of fascinating angle, is that of infrasound. And infrasound, a very low frequency sound, which can cause all sorts of effects. And again, where people have a feeling like a presence of some sort, like a supernatural entity, and it can cause sort of visual changes as well. So the human mind, what this shows, is very, very easy to tweak, and it doesn't take much to do that. And, you know, when you're thinking about things like that in relation to undertaking a highly classified project / experiment, then what seems, at least from the beginning, sounds extremely difficult when you've perhaps done it more than a few times, and going back possibly even to the 1950s, could actually become sort of just something that becomes routine. You know, for us, it would be mind-boggling. But for people who are running these programs, it may be just a case of, okay, you know, let's do the so-and-so case tomorrow, and then we'll do the next one the week after. And 10 years later, they become legends, you know.
Now you've got me worried, though, Nick, because, I mean, if they can do this with people and use UFOs as a cover story, that's all rather benign, right? Like, it's an interesting kind of sci-fi thing that we might be being visited by aliens. And it doesn't really hurt anybody to think that. But this same type of technology could conceivably use to put voices in people's heads to think that they're being instructed by God, like Mark David Chapman, to go like assassinate John Lennon so that he doesn't create some sort of social unrest. I mean, it's pretty disturbing.
Well, it is. And I mean, you know, without sort of going too deep in the whole conspiratorial angle, but I mean, you know, a lot of so-called assassins do have unusual backgrounds. You know, I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald, I mean, he made himself out as the ultimate patsy. But I mean, you know, he just sort of strode into Russia, you know, got married, stayed there, and then lo and behold, he's allowed to come back in, you know, and Saran, I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff surrounding him as well. You do have to wonder sometimes if this whole issue of, you know, Manchurian candidates or something similar to that, you know, actually is in place. I mean, back in the, again, sort of go back to the UK in the 1980s, there was a spate of bizarre deaths from the early 80s to the mid-90s. Many of the personnel working for Marconi and killed themselves under bizarre circumstances. And some of them, in fact, quite a few of them, were working on Ronald Reagan's SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars program. And some of them committed suicide by carbon monoxide in the car. They hung themselves, shot themselves. And the actual count from the early 80s to the early 90s was 32 personnel whose lives were ended in really strange situations. So, you know, I actually think there's something to that idea of targeting certain individuals to perform a task, which anybody else would say, you're crazy, you need to see a psychiatrist if you're hearing voices. Well, maybe they're not quite so crazy after all.
Well, I mean, surely their whole reason for doing this can't be to just convince people that aliens are real, because that's really the last thing they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be for some other reason. Something probably military, probably to help destabilize other nations. I mean, we know, too, I think the Russians, they were beaming some kind of waves down across the north, right down into North America back in the 60s sometime there. And they were exactly at that resonant frequency that makes people nervous.
Well, yeah, you're right. And I think you actually sort of, you know, got it right when you said that it is done probably against foreign nations. And I think what it is, they've got the perfect cover story and camouflage, which is the UFO subject. And so I think so many of these programs are initiated and run under a UFO banner because the mainstream media will take an interest in it, but they won't really delve deep into it, you know, to a significant degree. But what they will do is to keep digging and digging for further and far more advanced programs that the military can use. On the one hand, you can have like a plausible denial. Well, it was nothing to do with us. It was aliens, you know, that kind of thing. But then you've got the other aspect of the more and more the world becomes fraught, the more advanced technology and weapons we need, which requires more and more of these experiments to be undertaken to see how the technology works. So I think that's what it comes down to. They don't just do the experiments for the sake of seeing if they can, you know, confuse people. They do it because they have to develop and test new technologies and to avoid the program coming out and exploding and your potential enemies finding out. it's all hidden under the greys and stories of crop circles and abductions, you know.
I wonder here, though, Nick, we only have about a segment and a third left. What do you think the Chinese and the Russians would think about this? Certainly they watch very closely what we do. They read the same books we do. They know what's going on. What would they think?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't done a few similar things. You know, it's just we haven't heard as much about it. But in saying that, you know, in the 70s, the Russians were heavily involved in sort of psychic research and remote viewing and things like that, particularly with animals. They did a lot of research, you know, sort of... trying to use dogs to psychically find things and things like that. So, you know, I think everybody to a degree has done something like this. For example, a few years ago, under the UK's Freedom of Information request, we learned that for a while at least, the British Ministry of Defence had their own small remote viewing program and it didn't work too well and they scrapped it. So, you know, you can find alternative programs, you know, whether it's the creation of something like a Flatwoods monster or a UFO in a woods in Suffolk, England, you know, or something like Horn Island with Parker and Hickson. There's so many examples which, you know, a lot of them are kind of different to each other in varying ways, but that would make sense because the projects, you know, are all of a different nature. But as I said, having UFOs to protect them as a cover, well, they could do that forever and a day because so many people will buy into the UFO angle and people read the books and go to the conferences not realizing that they're also sort of playing into the angle of hiding a truth behind an even more amazing truth, you know.
You know, we're going to ask more about this in the next segment. Also about the current interest in UFOs and the naval photos, even the President of the United States saying that he was impressed by it. I mean, I don't know if we even live in a real world anymore, but that gets to be too political, and I don't want to engage in that here. The book is The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy. It's the one and only Nick Redfern who's joining us. Maybe we'll get him back to continue on after the Paracast. We'll see. So we have Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, and Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies.
Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So in our previous segment, I wondered whether Nick would join us this weekend on After the Paracast, and he will, for more discussion after this episode ends. After the Paracast is available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. We also get an enhanced version of this show free of the network ads. For more information, check out theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. So it seems that we're supposed to take UFOs seriously now. Because of all the kind of publicity the subjects has gotten, it's not, you know, for the entertainment features anymore. It's front and center everywhere. CNN had a story the other day about some more naval UFO stuff. Another story about the president saying that looks impressive to him, which may or may not mean something depending on your political point of view. But I guess the big question is here, is that leading to something or is it getting away from them?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, this kind of comes down the path of, like, disclosure, that kind of thing. But you know, if you look at the media, you're right. I mean, the kind of coverage, or serious coverage, I should say, that we get today in relation to UFOs, and we do, is sort of miles away from, say, the 1980s and 1970s. Back then, it was more just entertainment or crazy or slightly eccentric people to be laughed at or to be pitied for, you know, that kind of thing. But today, you're right, I mean, things have changed, and it is mainstream media, you know, that is covering these stories. Now, some people might say, well, that's a sure sign that disclosure's coming, you know, bit by bit, drip by drip, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, you know, it may just be that they're looking into it further. Again, you know, maybe unknowingly the media is being used as, I wouldn't say a weapon, because that's the wrong word, but where the media can be used to gauge, again, how we respond to new and breaking UFO stories. So, in other words, that could in itself be an experiment, not a literal experiment, but there could be teams sitting around and seeing how CNN's, you know, watchers, what do they, you know, what do they think about it, their viewers, you know, what do Fox's viewers think about it, and you could learn a lot from their political views and, you know, their mindset and their approach to the UFO subject. So I think you can look at it from a lot of different angles, some psychological even, you know, as to what does the US public think about UFOs now that it's, you know, primetime news on CNN. That in itself could be its own very intriguing project.
Except, of course, that the real UFOs may get involved there and things would be even crazier.
Well, that's true. That's right. Yeah.
Well, the more advanced we get in our own civilization, modern civilization, the less we can be sure about whether we're actually seeing a real UFO, as in alien craft, one of the real ones. Yeah, at some point, however, as we go back further and further in time, it becomes more and more likely that what people were seeing were actual alien craft. So, I mean, we could go to previous ones like Bentwaters from 1956, where they had three radar stations, a jet that went up, gun camera footage, and having this object recorded at some 4,000 miles an hour, or the 1952 Washington, D.C. flap. So, I mean, maybe once we get back that far, we're looking at the likelihood being much greater that something really out of this world was going on. Where, do you think maybe the aliens were real then and then they're all gone now and all we're left with are experiments? Or what's your thinking on all that?
Well, the first part of the question, I mean, if you look back into 1947, 48, 49, and you look at a number of the files that have been declassified through the Freedom of Information Act, particularly a lot of the ones which you can find on the FBI's website, The Vault, they're talking about pilots, you know, reports, official reports from pilots pursuing what were like sort of 45-foot diameter, you know, craft, performing all sorts of bizarre maneuvers and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that we were not in 1946, 47, 48 flying, you know, something like a classic flying saucer at 2,000 miles an hour and coming to a complete halt, you know, left and right hand turns. If we had that in 47, 48, we'd be using it. You know, there's no point or reason to hide it when you've got the ultimate device, the ultimate craft. So, yes, as I mentioned earlier, I do believe there's a genuine UFO phenomenon. And I think the classic cases of that era were genuine UFO cases. But I have to say that the more and more we get up to latter days, the more and more I see events which could be interpreted as secret experiments. I mean, in this book alone, you know, I've got Betty and Barney Hill, Hickson and Parker, Rendlesham, I mentioned briefly Roswell, and Flatwoods Monster. The more you address these latter-day ones, you start to see suspicious threads come into them. I don't think it's as black and white as saying the aliens were here and now they're gone and it's just experiments. But I think there is that kind of blurring, and the experiments, I think we still have the experiments angle and we still have the genuine phenomenon. But the way in which our technology is developing, it's becoming more and more difficult to differentiate between, well, what is the real UFO, which one is one of our UFOs.
Well, it certainly gives us a great advantage because it makes it easier to fool people as if it wasn't then.
You're right. You know, when you look into this, even though people may not like it, the more you look into it, you can actually make a case, you know, for a lot of these experiments. But I have to admit, you can make a case for certain UFO events as well, you know, genuine UFO events. Some of the classic ones, are extremely difficult to write off, and I don't write them off. As I said, those late 40s, early 50s ones, pilots chasing them, and like you said, you know, the Washington, D.C. overflights, things like that. I don't think back then somebody was running some sort of sophisticated program over the Capitol.
Isn't that convenient, though, because what this does is it obscures it both ways. I mean, if they don't want us to know about the reality of alien visitation, doesn't this just add so much noise now that nobody knows for sure anymore? It's kind of sad in a way, because there are people who've had genuine experiences. And once upon a time, you could say, yes, those people saw an alien craft of some kind. Now we've got this huge portion of the population that is going, I could have been a victim of some kind of mind control.
You know, when it blurs the guidelines, so to speak, or the fences, it's kind of like everything's wide open. And maybe that's where we are, because we are at a point where our technology may not be the same as theirs, but our technology may be more advanced or more usable, you know, when we're talking about like holograms. And so it is becoming more and more difficult to gauge anything in the subject, really, other than just go with each case and address it, you know, and dig into it to a greater degree.
We've got to wrap it up, Nick Redfern. Tell our listeners where we can find more of your stuff.
Well, I've got a blog, World of Whatever. Just Google Nick Redfern, World of Whatever. You'll find my blog. You can reach me at Twitter, Nick Redfern UFO, and also at Facebook as well. All my books are available from Amazon and about 60% from Barnes & Noble.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast Shop. We have branded merchandise at theparacast.shop. Look for the special sale we're running on the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. That's where you go to find out more. We're also offering gift subscriptions to fellow members of our forums as part of that package. We offer a version of this show free of the network ads, plus the amazing After the Paracast podcast. So we invite you to check it out. 40% and more reductions. Go to theparacast.plus for more information. And we welcome always to hear from one of our favorite authors here. The book is called The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy. Okay, was it a government experiment? What about some of those other cases? Were they also government experiments, too? You never know. Nick Redfern, thanks you for joining us on the Paracast.
All right, thanks, guys.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.